Ah, and to the sounds of whales charging a boat. That brings us to this morning's coffee table. Because it's time for the Kachemak Bay Science Conference. Well, it's a week from today. Is that when it begins? A week from today?
Yes.
That's Beth Trowbridge. Beth Trowbridge from the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies is here. Sabrina Bentz from the National Estuary and Research Reserve. And Sue Sape, I just met you. Where are you from?
The Cook Inlet Regional Citizens Advisory Council, or CIRCAC.
Thank you for your work. Beth Trowbridge, we talked about you giving us a little overview. Like, what is this thing?
Right. So the Kachemak Bay Science Conference, this is a conference that has been going, or on our eighth conference. So it's been going on for about 20 years. Every 3 years, the community tries to put on a conference. And basically, it's a collaboration between many agencies to bring the science that's going on in Kachemak Bay to the community. And it's not just a one-way science to the community, it's also the community to the scientists. And so it's a way of sharing a lot of the great information that's being generated about where we live and what's going on here, and an opportunity to also hear from community members and people that are also making observations and seeing their own things going on in the Bay. So we are really fortunate to live in such a beautiful place, but we're also really fortunate to have so many agencies and folks in our own community that are actively doing research and figuring out what's going on. So this conference, it's a collaboration between Center for Coastal Studies, the Kachemak Bay Research Reserve, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We're kind of the three main coordinators, but it takes a lot of other people to put it on. So we also have NOAA, the Cisne Bay Lab. Chris Holderreed from there. We have the Kenai Watershed Forum, folks from there. We have Sue and CIRCAC. We have the college, the local college, KBC College, Fish and Game, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, University of Alaska Fairbanks, the folks up there with the Marine Science Program, and the Seldovia Village Tribe. So we have representatives from each of those agencies that have been working for almost a year now on a steering committee to help us put together this conference and decide the session topics and the theme and the speakers and all of that.
And so everybody convenes at the Islands and Ocean Visitor Center.
Yes.
And there is an event at Alice's, but for the most part it's at Islands and Ocean, except, and we'll get to this, it's on my list, there are fabulous field trips. You can totally go afield. I was wondering if we could start with the fun stuff, the evening activities, the keynote address, the meet and greets, the poster sessions. Sabrina, can you talk a little bit about that? And I want you to get close to that. Bring that mic close to you.
Okay, thanks. So one of the first events we're hosting to kick off the science conference is a meet and greet. And that is going to be at Alice's in the upstairs area. And that's going to be on Wednesday evening. And it's just a chance for the visiting and local scientists to practice explaining their science in without as much jargon and with a little bit more clarity, because we are encouraging the local scientists to make their work easy to understand and meaningful for local community members, so connect people to their research. And so that's just a little a way for scientists to get their jargon out.
Do you guys have like a glossary of terms that you'll be giving people?
We do. We actually have I have a list of some of the most common words that people use in science that most people don't understand. So
I'm going to ask you to share a few of those.
Yeah. Well, and at that meet and greet, we'll have them all printed out. We'll also have a little exercise where people can enter their scientific conference abstracts into a little online widget and it'll underline every word that's not one of the most common 1,000 words in the English language. So we'll highlight that for scientists to make sure that they can kind of remove some of those from their lexicon during their...
As we were discussing before we went to air, I said to Sue Sape, speak to the smartest person who's listening. Don't worry about about going over anyone's head. I dare you. I dare you to go over their heads. But apparently that's not your theory on how this should be done.
Well, I would say that, you know, sometimes one thing that's kind of interesting is that that we have found, and scientists have even found, that, you know, each discipline kind of speaks their own language. And sometimes, you know, even if you're an oceanographer, you may not really understand what, the biologist is saying if everybody's talking in their specific, you know, jargon.
So, oh, it's true. The first time I was on a fishing boat, I thought they were talking in code. And yeah, they were.
And they were. So, and we have to say that I was trying to encourage them to kind of also have it be a little bit like a speed dating type of event, you know, where you go around and you really try to say your abstract in like an elevator speech, 60 seconds or less. Like, what are you really trying to, pass on to the public, to fellow scientists, for colleagues, and that sort of thing. So it should be really fun. A fun evening to try to do that.
Yeah, and it kind of goes along with our conference theme this year, which is Science Without Borders. So breaking down the barriers just between scientific disciplines is important for us so that we can communicate and work together a little bit better.
And I'm wondering about the keynote. So that is Thursday night, a week from tomorrow.
Correct. Right? At Islands and Ocean.
That's the other thing. I don't think I did say it starts next week, but we are 1 week away. The other thing we have not mentioned to people yet is that you don't have to pay to sign up. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that was what
I just needed to double check.
No, that's true.
That seemed impossible.
It's free, and that's been a goal ever since we started hosting the science conferences, is to make sure that it was a free event, so that that wasn't another barrier that kept people from being able to attend. And in order to do that, we also have to have funders that help us keep it free. And this year, we have AOS, the Alaska Ocean Observing Observation System, the NPRB National
Research Board. This is the acronym.
Right, National Pacific Research Board, Sea Grant, Cook Inlet RCAC, ExxonMobil, the Kachemak Bay Research Reserve, and Grace Ridge Brewing, which I had mentioned during the city council meeting as a funder. And I do consider them a funder because they open their doors and encourage people to leave tips for different nonprofits around the community. And in January, they did it for the science conference. And so they were able to contribute, almost $800 towards the conference, which then goes towards food and other expenses that we might have, printing, things like that, badges, just in order to keep it free. That helps us be able to do that.
Yeah, I was wondering in your glossary, during your meet and greet, just start with the parade of acronyms.
Yeah, well, in each of our organizations, all the partners, we throw out, CACS for Center for Alaska Coastal Studies, or CIRCAC for the Cook Inlet Regional Citizens Advisory Council. But it's really nice that we work together so much that we are familiar with each other's programs too, and we those acronyms aren't usually barriers for us, but sometimes the community members don't know how we all work together, and we leverage each other's work to create a science conference like this. And an interesting thing is that these only happen every 3 years, so a lot has happened for each of our respective programs in the last 3 years, and there's been a lot of interesting natural events that have occurred as well. So there's going to be some sessions that kind of help explain some of those things, that those observations that people might have had over the last 3 years as well.
The keynote address is Thursday night at 7 p.m., and it's Nancy Lord. In the auditorium at Islands and Ocean?
In the auditorium. Well, first there's a reception, kind of a kickoff reception, light appetizers from 6 to 7, so people can gather, they can register, they can mingle, and then Nancy will talk from 7 to 8. And we're really excited to have her as our keynote because she's been doing, just such great writing and integrating science and writing, the art of science and writing together. And her talk is called Art and Science, Branches of the Same Tree. And so she'll be, trying to kind of weave together just how those disciplines really do cross, and how they seem.
There's
like
no way they don't cross.
They don't
here
cross.
In Homer.
That's right. And so she will be talking a little bit about her latest book, PH, and there'll be some of those available for purchase and for her to sign as well. And I think she is hoping to give a talk for about 40 minutes, but then also have some time for discussion and interacting with the audience.
Well, the book is a good one. I have read it. But Nancy, in addition to this fiction book, she has a long relationship with the science community here. So it'll be fun to listen. And we'll do our best to record it and share it with people.
She does a wonderful job of taking complex scientific concepts and making it accessible to pretty much any reader who's interested in learning. I'm going to jump
go ahead, Sue.
Actually a second keynote speaker that's going to kick off the scientific presentation part of the conference, and that will be Friday morning by Mandy Lindeberg, who is, many of you have probably crossed paths with Mandy over the years, but she has close to 30 years now of working in coastal Alaska. We started working together during damage assessment studies after the Exxon Valdez oil spill. And she's kind of tripped around Cook Inlet and Kachemak Bay off and on for 28 years at least. And some of you might remember she came here for a book signing for her field guides to Alaska seaweeds. And she's done a lot of work with forage fish and now with the Gulf Watch program and the Exxon Valdez oil spill. So that should be a really, she's a great, interesting, and dynamic speaker. So people should enjoy that coming and seeing that on Friday morning.
And the Kachemak Bay Science Conference website has a complete schedule of events, and there are many, many of them. We'll get to a preview of all of them. The other thing that I was reading was that even though it's free, that you should register so that you know they're coming.
I mean, it is important to register, and then you get your name badge and all that kind of stuff so that you can interact with other people and they can know who you are. But also, just it's important for us to know who's there and who's coming. And there are a number of workshops and field trips that are being offered as well. And some of those have some limited space because they, you know, require vehicles of transport. And so we need to know kind of how many people are attending, and it would be unfortunate for somebody who wanted to really do one of those field trips to not register and just show up and then not have a space in the van. So we really encourage people to register.
Plug it in, Kachemak Bay Science Conference, to the search engine of your choice, and go to that site and register. You can register right there online, right?
Right, and kbayscience.org is the site. But yeah, if you Google it, it'll come up, and you can register right online. You can register for the different field trips and workshops, and also on Friday, we aren't providing lunch, but you can purchase a lunch. So we will have, if you want to have lunch right there so you don't have to leave, then you can do that. But you do need to pre-register for that if you want to have, you know, a sandwich available for that.
Okay. Also, we'll post the audio from this show, this coffee table, on our website and link to the science conference page as well so that people can find it and go and register. So back to poster session.
The poster session will be happening on Friday night, and this is a really great time just to mingle and ask questions of any of the scientists that, you know, perhaps you listen to someone's talk during the day Friday and you wanted to just chat with them a little bit more in depth and get some more information. You'll also have the opportunity to view the posters, and I think we have about 19 posters.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a up in numbers from the last conference, right?
Yeah, the last conference I think we had 8 or 9.
Oh,
so
wow.
we're feeling really good about the number of submissions this year.
So that's almost double from the last one. So what we decided to do for the poster session, which is from 6 to 8 on Friday evening, on March 9th, is do two waves. So we split the presenters up into two groups. And so the first group will be standing next to their posters to interact with everyone from 6 to 7, and the second wave will be from 7 to 8.
But the posters will be up the whole time, so if you can still read the posters, just we're asking the scientists to you know, be at their posters so they can answer questions. And the one thing I want to just add about the poster session is we often have a lot of graduate students that submit posters, and it's kind of like they're pre to get ready to do the official oral presentation. So
it's not a gateway to presenting your data.
Yeah, so it's a great opportunity for them, and the more interaction that they get with the public and with other scientists to be able to talk about their data, just the better they, you know, develop as both scientists and communicators. So, you know, it's a really great opportunity to help them as well as learn interesting things that are going on.
So that's Beth Trowbridge from Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. Also in the studio is Sabrina Bentz from the National Estuary and Research Reserve, Kachemak Bay Estuary and Research Reserve, and Sue Soppy from CIRCAC. Thank you all for being here. workshops. What I have here, accessing ocean data, reproducible analysis, graphic facilitation. Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I can start the conversation.
Go for it, Sabrina.
About the workshops and field trips. This is really exciting. We're offering several workshops this round. The first one actually is data access for coasts and oceans, which is about public data portals, analysis tools, and practical applications. And I would just mention that Sue could probably tell us a little bit more about the value of data portals and what somebody might learn at this workshop.
Yeah, this is a partnership with the Alaska Ocean Observing System, and these data portals, they're public portals that they've helped us scientists develop that allow users to access data, to visualize data. The public can go online and open up and use and visualize different data sets, such as real-time observations. You can look up what weather stations doing all over the state of Alaska, but specifically for here in Kajimag Bay, you can look up the wave data, you can look up forecasts. wave forecast data, but also lots and lots of physical and biological and chemical oceanographic data layers. And this portal workshop will allow you to learn how to use it, and then for data users and other scientists to get in and be able to share data and work on some of the new tools that they're just starting to roll out, which is allowing us to share data easily and some of their new analytical tools. And one of the great things is that all of the Alaska Shore Zone coastal imagery is available on there, and we'll show you how to access that. And the NOAA data portal will be discussed on the next day. There'll be a second data portal that'll look at accessing ocean data, and that will focus a lot on the Gulf Watch Alaska project that's going on that you'll hear about if you come and listen to Mandy and her keynote.
Yeah, and so that first workshop is on Wednesday afternoon, and the data access workshop, and it is suitable for researchers, educators, decision makers, and other users of all skill abilities. So we encourage you to register for those online as well.
And I was just going to just tag in a little bit there, because like Sabrina was saying, that for educators, you know, the data portals are a great tool for teachers, especially middle school, high school, college teachers, to access real-time data. And one thing that we didn't mention is educators can attend the conference for credit through KPC, the Kenai Peninsula College. And so if there are any educators out there, or, you know, a teacher or anybody that might be interested, make sure that they connect at the college to register. And then by attending the sessions and some of these workshops, and they can have an opportunity to get one professional development credit.
Also, KBBI will be helping, facilitating, recording some of these talks so that we can share them with everyone, but don't wait for us. Just make your way there and go to the website and register. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, it will be all about field trips, my favorite. You are tuned to KBBI AM 890 Homer. The time is 9:26 a.m., and you're listening to The Coffee Table. The topic this morning is the Kachemak Bay Science Conference, which starts on March 7th. And we've been spending a little bit of time talking about the workshops. In the studio, Beth Trowbridge from the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies, Sue Sape from CIRCAC, and Sabrina Bentz from NERS, the National Estuary and Research Reserve. Sabrina, you said you have a few more workshops you want to talk about.
Right. We said we were going to jump into field trips, but I just wanted to mention there are a couple other workshops. One that I'm really excited about is a graphic facilitation and visual note-taking workshop that's going to be led by Caitlin Vodla from Cook Inlet Keeper and Alice Rademacher from the Kachemak Bay NER. And that is on Saturday, March 10th at 9 a.m. And it's going to be a quick 1.5-hour workshop, but really useful to all sorts of people. And it's really it's focused on visual note-taking at meetings or during presentations, as well as graphic facilitation, which is a method to lead a group of participants into creating a collaborative product. So if you've ever been to some science conferences where there was an artist on the side drawing while she's listening to a speaker, or been to a meeting where people were doing some visual note-taking so that people could kind of see the concepts in more of a visual way. Those are the methods that we'll be covering. Participants will have a chance to practice those skills. And then after that workshop, at 10:30 a.m., Caitlin will be doing some visual note-taking through one of the sessions, too. So they'll get to see some examples of that. And it's a really exciting way to communicate science in a different way or communicate concepts in a different way. And it fits really well with our...
With your topic of arts and science.
With our themes, you know, science without borders. So making it accessible to everyone.
And Beth Trowbridge, you were saying there is a deadline to register because KBBI is going to do its best to share some of these events and talks and such, but we can't share the field trips with you.
Right, and so the field trips, we're going to close the registration for field trips on Monday. So if you are interested in those field trips, you need to register before Monday or by Monday so that we know, so we have good numbers so you don't miss out on that opportunity. The workshops, some of the workshops are more open, so it's not quite as critical, but it is good for us to have, you know, a good idea of the numbers just so that we, the presenters know how many materials to have ready and that sort of thing. So don't wait till the last minute, please.
And if you register early, we will be sending out those workshop agendas, mm-hmm. and any instructions. So some of them you can bring your laptop and create, work with some of the data on your own. Right. So there'll be instructions in advance. So don't hesitate to register for those.
And to remind everyone, all of this is free. You just have to register. So where are we going on these field trips?
So there's three field trips, and they're all in the Kachemak Bay region. And the there's two field trips that are most of the day on Thursday, March 8th. So they're the 10:30 to 3:30 p.m., 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. range. One is focused on salmon in watersheds. And one is focused on the storm berms of Homer and their value and importance. And those will be led by the salmon in the watershed one. I think it's going to be a combination of review of juvenile salmon support systems in the area and focus a little bit on groundwater and overwintering of salmon below the ice. And then the second workshop on Thursday is exploring Homer's beach storm berms and sand dunes. So a field trip by Bishop's Beach, Mariner Park, and Mud Bay, led by Lori Daniel and Jessica Shepherd from the Research Reserve. And that should be an easy access for most and just kind of show just the value of the storm berms to our community here.
And I did read on your site or on the schedule that if weather is making it impossible to go, that there are some virtual tours.
There are, yeah. You know, there's a lot of...
I think I've seen Chris Holderied lead something at the college with the virtual underwater tour.
Yes, and we are going to be offering that virtual underwater tour of Kachemak Bay, and that is at the... kind of the end of the day on Friday, after the presentations, Chris Holderied and Brenda Konar from UAF will give us an underwater virtual tour of Kachemak Bay. And that's some really great video, really interesting visuals. So that's a really exciting virtual field trip as well. And then there's this one last field trip, just to mention briefly, is a community monitoring field trip on Saturday afternoon in the Homer Harbor. That's a really great way for community members to learn a little bit about the monitoring that's going on and how they can get involved. And
I was just about to ask if there's an opportunity for citizen science
exactly,
here.
Exactly, yeah. And that's Saturday, March 10th from 2:30 to 4:30 to 4, yeah.
And is there an age range for people who can attend?
It's really open to anyone. We actually have a few students that are coming over from Seldovia that are going to participate, and so it's youth, it's endless. I mean, up to 101 or two.
All right, then.
Crossing age boundaries.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, it looks like that leads us, the next thing on my list says, cross boundaries, cross disciplines, cross barriers, and my favorite, species shifts. So what are these conference sessions? Sue?
Oh,
it's all right.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and mention
someone
this.
Someone just handed you a note, and then I asked you a question. I should give you a donut to bite into as well while I ask you.
The website is kbasescience.org, and we will double check at the end of the session to make sure that all of the links are working and that registration is still open and available.
Okay, and talking about the scientific presentations on Friday, along the lines of the theme of Science Without Borders, we have a crossing discipline session that's talking about the social, physical, and biological sciences, and that's led by Brandon Konar and Chris Holderreed. And looking through one lens might not answer all the questions in Kachemak Bay, so what are ways of integrating information from various disciplines to effectively understand an ecosystem? And that'll be a series of talks that will kind of merge those different scientific and social subjects in the session called Crossing Disciplines. In the session, Crossing Boundaries, subtitled Geographical Jurisdictions, this talk, there are many issues of local relevance that span across geographical jurisdictions, such as climate change, coastal erosion, oil spills, anadromous fish, and other issues that are important to people that live here in Kachemak Bay. So how are the agencies and researchers working together to efficiently understand Kachemak Bay and the surrounding ecosystems? There's another session, Crossing Barriers, and that looks at the political and societal angle of things. And this session will discuss how research and monitoring work crosses political and societal barriers in the Kachemak Bay area. So are there some sticky issues, and how is information incorporated into policy and culture? And then the final session is called Species Shifts, Locals, Visitors, and Invasions. And many of the species that live in Kachemak Bay area cover a lot of ground. And are their ranges and behaviors changing over time? These talks will highlight species in our areas that cross these geographical boundaries, as well as how their previous patterns are changing due to shifting environmental conditions. And I don't know if you want to highlight some of the specific talks in each of those.
Yeah, Sabrina, will you elaborate?
Yeah.
Thanks,
well,
Sue.
Yeah, I'll just mention that each of these sessions are chaired by a pair of local scientists or researchers, and it's really great that we have such great such representation across different organizations in the agenda. So, in each of these sessions, there'll be talks by scientists and graduate students from the universities like UAF and APU, Alaska Pacific University, as well as University of Alaska Anchorage, and representation by our local agencies too, the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. So a lot of people with different roles in the science community, but kind of highlighting how they're working together or providing information to each other around these common themes in these four sessions.
I also wanted to just highlight and maybe ask Sabrina to talk a little bit about the political and societal barriers, because she's going to be chairing along with Michael Oppheim and Donna Adderhold that session, and it's meant to be a panel and then a discussion, and so
I'll let people know a little bit. It's a little bit of a different format for that session, which is in the afternoon, 2:30 to 3:45 on Friday. So we're hoping that these talks would really address some of the relevant issues to our communities in the Bay. And so we've got interesting talks by Kim Stryker from the ADEC. About leveraging partnerships to protect the public health, and that's in relation to harmful algal blooms and toxic shellfish. So you may have heard on KBVI or seen other news outlets or posted around town in the summer just a caution about consuming shellfish. So that she's here to kind of help us. And,
yes,
and
PSP and give, is no joke.
PSP is no joke. And so so this session is kind of trying to help answer any answer people's questions about these issues of local concern. Another presenter is from the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management about the Cook Inlet beluga whale study and the relationship to Cook Inlet lease sales, the oil and gas lease sales. So that's kind of a hot topic and on people's mind. We also have presenters from the city about our municipal water supply and Bridge Creek watershed, and the local environmental observer network, how citizen science is information is getting incorporated and then redistributed to local communities, as well as the in-stream management of salmon fisheries on the Lower Kenai Peninsula. A lot of people, it's an important recreational service that we've got here. So a lot of relationship to just, you know, things that people do in their day-to-day lives, recreation, their commerce, kind of quality of life, and other great ecosystem services that we have here in Ketchumak Bay.
And that's Savrina Bentz from the Ketchumak Bay Estuary and Research Reserve, and Beth Trowbridge from the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies, and Sue Soppy from the Cook Inlet Regional Citizens Advisory Council. It is a parade of acronyms in here.
Oh, I was going to say, I wanted to just also highlight on Saturday the shifting species session, because we did put that on Saturday because there's a lot of talks that are about things that seems like the community is really interested in.
What was the title that most intrigued me? So please tell me about
it. Well, we have, you know, again, some of the information about the plankton blooms and the effects of the harmful algal blooms. We have talks about the razor clam, cooking the razor clam, monitoring and halibut and some of the invasive crayfish, signal crayfish that are showing up in Kodiak, which I just learned about yesterday, which is pretty interesting.
Sounds like time for a Cajun dance party.
That's right. So just some of those things that people are seeing, especially with some of the environmental changes, the warming of the waters, just things like that. There's a lot of questions about what's going on. And so those talks, I think, will be really interesting to the public, as well as Debbie Tobin from the college will be talking about the Semester by the Bay program that they have at the college that brings in students from other areas to really focus on Ketchumak Bay and marine biology and that sort of thing. So she'll be talking about that program and highlighting some of the work that those students are doing.
And do you know regarding the crawfish in Kodiak, if that's due to warming waters? I mean, what's the next thing I have on my list is the Communicating Science Luncheon. So, Savrina, before we move on to this, this will be the second time. One more time before we're done, we want to tell everybody. What is it? .org.
KBayScience.
KBayScience.org. Yep. I just went there on the computer in the air studio and followed the link from our Facebook page to it. So it's there. And it's all free. It starts on March 7th and goes through the 10th. It's mostly at the Islands and Ocean Visitor Center, and everyone is invited. Just please let them know you're coming. But what is this Communicating Science Luncheon?
So this is hosted by Jessica Shepherd at the Ketchumak Bay National Estuary and Research Reserve, and it is a free lunch. Yes, there is such a thing as a free lunch, but only if you pre-register. So,
right.
So this is on Saturday at the noon hour, and Jessica is convening a panel of local science communicators to learn how they use the story behind the science to impart meaning and relevant to scientific findings. So on this panel, we include Nancy Lord, who's giving the keynote on Thursday night, and as well, we have Marilyn Sigman, who is a local author and environmental educator.
Untangled, is that her latest? Is that what it's called?
Entangled.
She's got a new book out, and we'll mention her book signing a little bit later. And then we'll also have Homer News editor and science fiction author Michael Armstrong, K-12 educator Bill Numa, and a nationally acclaimed sculptor Rika Mao. So we have a lot of different disciplines of communicators.
Sounds
there.
Fantastic. So Marilyn Sigmund was the former former director of the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies. Do I have that right?
Was the former director, because we've only...
It's just been her and you at this point.
Pretty well. Yeah. There's been a couple short term in between, but yes. And she, we are at Grace Ridge Brewing at 5:30, kind of to wrap up the conference. And she'll be doing a little talk and a book signing for her book that just got published, Entangled: People and Ecological Change in Alaska's Kachemak Bay. So, you know, she's been doing a lot of research over the past couple years of Kachemak Bay, and it's a very interesting book. And so be sure to come to that, too.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of Rika Mal's work. Mm-hmm. She works a lot with stuff she finds on the beach, with rocks, with shells, so it'll be really interesting to hear what she has to say. I mean, it seems like the conference was designed for someone like Rika, or at least designed to include someone like Rika, who uses science and the environment around here to make her art. So I'll be looking forward to finding the artists, the crazy scientist artists in town. What am I missing that's not on my list? Well, I have Chugachmiut. Can someone tell me? Like, that's the first day of the conference, right? What's going on as you guys are getting started?
This is kind of a late-breaking opportunity to share science, both from some of the agency and university perspectives, but also the traditional ecological knowledge. So Chugachmiut is convening their quarterly local education coordinator and elder work session.
And what is Chugachmiut?
And Chugachmiut is
the local Native regional corporation that covers the communities of Kachemak Bay, Prince William Sound, Seward, Gulf, you know, the Gulf of Alaska area.
So the Native corporation is going to bring together elders
and their local LECs, local community educators, informal educators in the community, and they have been working on putting together a curriculum to use in the schools in the community that reflect topics, at least this year, on climate change, watersheds, traditional foods, traditional place names, and housing and shelter building. And so what they're doing is using this conference as both a way to get their educators together to work on this curriculum, but also to bring elders over from each of those communities that they cover to get their input on things that they're seeing in the communities, topics of concern, and they'll be doing some interviewing of those elders and integrating them into their comments into their curriculum. But also then they will be attending sessions and workshops. It's an opportunity for them to also learn from the scientists and what's going on. And many of our organizations will be able to also work with them during the work session to talk about some of the outreach that we have going on, some of our tools that we have available for them to use to incorporate into this curriculum or get engaged in citizen science and monitoring in their community. So we're really excited that we have this opportunity to work work with this group and work with them and integrate.
And that gathering is on the first day, on awake from today, Wednesday, March 7th. Have I got that right?
Yes.
Because I don't have the schedule in front of me, only my notes, which is a dangerous thing.
And it is open. I mean, people are Carrie Brookover, who's leading up that work session, has said it's open. If somebody wants to come and sit in and hear what's going on and listen, that's fine too. You don't have to necessarily be part of that work session. And so people that want to hear more about some of the traditional ecological knowledge that the elders are passing on, that's really important to integrate into science, would be a great time to hear some of that input.
Well, Sue Soppy from CIRCAC, Cook Inlet Regional Citizens Advisory Council, there should be sort of an acronym trivia game at some point. Where will you be during the conference? What are your, where will you be surfacing?
In two places. I'll be providing workshop presentation on the data portals. I'll be working with Stacy Bucklew, who's now working for Axiom Data Research. They're the data managers for the Alaska Ocean Observing System. So we'll be walking people through how to use the data online portals, how to access and visualize these data and see all the information that's available to them at their fingertips. I'll also be presenting about a project that I'm working on, CIRCAC is working on with the Park Service, NOAA, and the University of Alaska. And this is a project that's funded by BOEM, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. And we're doing some really interesting stuff out there in Kamishak Bay that has applications to areas here in Ketchumak Bay. So
that was my
really
question. Do you process and interpret data in your daily life?
I do.
Yeah. Like what?
Well, this project is really fun because we're trying to tie old traditional methods of looking at intertidal ecosystems and shallow subtidal ecosystems to some of the new tools that you have available with very, very high resolution imagery and GIS information and GPS information. So we're going to tie in some high resolution aerial imagery to provide a very detailed grid of tidal elevations and then link our data to that in a way that hasn't been applied before using what we're calling real time kinematic. And we're real excited about it, and we'll be able to show how it has applications to other intertidal areas throughout Cook Inlet.
There's lots of interest,
yes.
And I'm so glad you could all be here today. But I want to apply that question to all of you that I just talked to Sue about. Thank you, by the way. And I'm really interested. I'm definitely going to show up, and because I think numbers and data are beautiful, and I want to see all the things that you do with them. Beth Trowbridge from the Center for the Executive Director of the Center of Alaskan Coastal Studies. Got that right?
Yes.
Executive. I don't see.
I guess.
You've got your executive fleece on today.
That's right.
So what is it that you specifically, are you going to be leading panels, or are you just organizing and, organizing is the
thing? She's like the woman behind the curtain.
These both are Wonder Women for this conference.
Yeah,
So with Coastal Studies, I mean, one of the reasons why we are so involved in helping to organize the conference is because we use the information that the scientists are gathering and in our education programs. It's really important for us to hear what's going on, to keep our curriculum up to date, to be able to incorporate what they're finding into our programs that we do across the bay and on this side. And so our educators go to the sessions. I mean, we're there to learn. So we want to make sure that we put together a great conference because we want to get a lot out of it ourselves. So we're more of that that audience.
And Savrina from the Ketchumak Bay Estuary and Research Reserve. What will we see you doing there?
Well, I am a little bit more behind the scenes, but we have a lot of staff from the Research Reserve either giving presentations or leading field trips and workshops. So I'm helping coordinate a lot of the workshops and field trips, making sure that they are.
Do you get to go on any of them?
I hope so. but one thing we really like to do at the Research Reserve is provide these workshops and training. I work in the Coastal Training Program, and my big interest in the science conference is connecting research to people. So trying to understand what are the information needs for decision makers, and how we can tailor our projects, our research directions to make sure that we're addressing those needs of the community, of the coastal communities. When we design these workshops and field trips, we really try to connect with local relevant issues. So
you have succeeded in that. I'm very excited to see how it all plays out and get it, and be able to take part a little bit. And so we've come to that time when it's time for me to thank you all and ask if there's anything you feel like still needs to be shared, that people need to know about what's happening. Let's first go over, it starts a week from today, and that's Wednesday, March 7th through March 10th. It's at the Islands and Ocean Visitor Center and a field if you're signing up for workshops. And the CAPTCHA, the sign up online, kbayscience.org, the expectation is that this will be cleared up in no time. And any final introductions, comments, things of interest? Go at Sue Sabi from CIRCAC.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I think that this, the conference, the Ketchumak Bay Science Conference, is a real tribute to how the importance that Homer and the people that work here in Homer place on making the science that's being done in their the community and the areas that they love, making it accessible to mm-hmm. everybody in the communities, and also the importance of leveraging expertise, resources, and funding to make sure that the science that we do in the areas really has applications beyond just maybe a single application that one organization might do on their own. And I've worked out of the Homer area for over 30 years now, and there's just been really big increases in the way that the research is done and the amount of leveraging that's taken place. And I think that this conference is just a great tribute to that.
Anybody else have anything to add?
Yeah, I would just add that I think we have around 50 presentation, poster,
it is stacked.
Workshop leads. So, you know, the next time you pass a scientist on the street, just thank them. it's really, really amazing to see how integral science is in our community here in Ketchikan Bay, and what a magnet Ketchikan Bay is for attracting really high quality science, really great education programming that communicates that science back to the community and helps meet the needs.
And the whales, I tell by that sound that it's almost time. We're gonna check in with Noah, one of your partners, and do a short weather update. Beth Trowbridge, Sabrina Bentz, and Sue Soppy, thank you so much for being on Coffee Table this morning.